We all love an impressive performance on the field. And now, thanks to our latest sponsor, Pilot, you can have an impressive performance in the bedroom too. Pilot provides Aussie men with the clinical tools to treat bedroom issues like erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. Not a fan of the doctor's office? Pilot is all online, so you can sort it out right now over the phone. And with free delivery Australia-wide, you can be back on your game in no time. Head to pilot.com.au today and get started. Play hard until the final whistle with Pilot. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. It's been months. We ran out of stock, but we're back. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rickseyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house. Righto, let's get into the show.
Welcome back to Only Sport. Today, we're lucky to be joined by Boyd Cordner, another superstar up here in Sydney. We're recording live from Bondi. Got the Crocs on. I changed my outfit just for this one. Just a bit more
in Bondi?
Yeah. Boyd, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yeah, very good. You know, we just got back from Vegas. Season's underway, mate. So, yeah, starting to get into a bit of a routine now with our schedule. So everything's going well, mate.
I've got to touch on Vegas. I just spoke to the boys before. Obviously, yeah. They were playing and preparing to play as the 19th man there for Gus. But as a coach, what kind of energy levels, how excited were you to get over there knowing that you don't have to be putting the body on the line, but you've got to sharpen the mind up and prepare the boys, but yeah. You really can indulge when you want to once you finish the day.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a bit of a tricky one for me, Tommy. As you know, we love the state, so any chance to get over there, it's unreal. So it's a bit different for me. Normally go over for leisure or at the end of the season where you can really let the hair down, but first time going for business, and yeah, it's a tricky one. Obviously, with the training and preparing the boys to play in Vegas, but then also having the time and the freedom of not having to be physically ready to play. So I think I got the balance right, mate, between work and having a bit of fun. But yeah, it was such a good trip. When I first went over, I was like, oh, it should be okay. Everyone was talking about the distractions and everything, and oh, will the boys be okay? And as you know, in the professional realm, you're like, yeah, you'd like to think so. And I was like, no, we've got a good crew here. And but when you get over there, like after the first couple of nights, the boys got to let their hair down and go out, have a few beers, get it out of their system. And then a few days into it, I'm going, holy shit, this could be danger. But then you realize you get to Vegas and it's the same. Like, you can't hide anywhere. You just had to embrace it, which we did, and you know, enjoyed it for what it was. And just got to remember too, like the other four teams are doing the exact same thing. So, mate, it was such a good trip, and we're all laughing at the end of it. Like, you go on them trips, and you know, it all depends. The quality of the trip depends on the result. If you win, how good was this? Let's do it again. Everything. But if you lose, mate, we'd still be having meetings sorting it out. Going, yeah. What are you doing here? So. Mate, at the end of it, I'm glad the boys won. Just so it was one for the memory books for sure.
Oh, mate, winning takes care of a lot of issues, doesn't it? Like, maybe someone did something 2 days prior. Was that the best prep? But if you just get the chocolates, no one says anything. You're probably going out. The boys said that, chain smokers afterwards. And yeah, that's awesome. Nah, it's great to hear. And you've done a lot of things with your career, which we'll dive into, but NRL in America and Las Vegas, are there any, what was done really well and what do you think they can do better for next year? Because obviously the first times there's always going to be a couple of things you want to, clean up or do better next time.
Yeah, definitely. I think just the organisation around it all, I think the bigger picture stuff was unreal, and the vision from Peter Volandis and the NRL, I'm pretty sure it was well received over there, especially when we're in Vegas and just getting Ubers everywhere and talking to the Uber drivers saying, oh, what are you doing here? They knew the game was on and they were pretty keen to go and watch it as well. So they definitely knew we were there. But just the finer details around it all, I think all of our teams were sharing a hotel, one hotel, which was, I don't know if it was a money thing. They would have spent a hell of a lot, mate, to get it all happening over there. The NRL chartered two flights over straight to Vegas. So my thinking is they would have had to have just spend a lot of money to hopefully down the years get that all back, which is, mate, they've done a great job. But yeah, just some details around it all, like just with organisation, being the first one, it didn't run as smoothly as we probably would have wanted with our prep, with our footy, like going to the fields to train and not having the fields marked out. So all of that, you had to just bounce on the run. But moving forward, obviously, they'd learn their lessons and take a lot out of that. So, mate, anyone watching, or if you're an NRL fan, or even if you just like love sport and just want to get over there, it was such a good vibe being over there. And yeah, it went really well. I'm pretty sure it was well received over there. And from all reports, it looked unreal from back here. So
yeah, it was two different games as well. One real hot, like high scoring, and then one just strong defence. And
yeah.
And a couple upsets as well. Yeah, when you're watching it. It was great to see. It was, yeah, it's awesome. And I think the NRL, they deserve a lot of credit because first to kind of do it. And they did a great. That was a great start. Like you said, there's a couple of things that we wouldn't see. You know, training. No one really cares about how your boys train as you're watching. They just want to see game day, really. Yeah. But as you know, when you're inside the four walls, it's you want to get all the finer details right so the boys can prepare. Well, they look prepared, mate. The coaches must have done their job.
Yeah,
the boys were very good, as you said, celebrate. What was it like? Me and you were massive NFL fans. Yeah. I just come back from the Super Bowl there and watched from the third tier. But running on the field, you know, delivering messages as you do, what was that like? Like, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was unreal. So we got to do our captain's run there, which is our training session the day before we play. And just to go in and just soak it all in. And mate, the stadium is, they spent $3 billion on that, mate. So if you think about it, that's crazy. Obviously, because of the weather and the way the stadium is, it's got an enclosed roof. So when we got there, you always have been to Vegas. It's in the middle of a desert. It's bizarre. And with the weather, I'm like, why would they need an enclosed like roof like that? And I was, but the next day, game day, woke up and it was so windy. Like I went to get a coffee and people in the street were getting blown over from the wind. Like it was mayhem. And then from then I was like, oh, that's why they need a roof over, just because of the, it's like in the middle of the desert, like the elements and stuff that you have to deal with. But mate, the stadium itself was insane and you were just there probably maybe 10 days before us. So you know how amazing it was to be in there. One of the boys asked me, he's like, oh, where else have you been that's been unreal to play at, or what's a standout? And, you know, I played at some really good, cool places, but mate, that would have been one definitely that I would have loved to have ticked off. But just to be a part of that anyway and to run out there with the blue shirt and run water was pretty amazing, mate, so it was good.
What was there a moment at the end? Do you remember, like, was there any moment where you were kind of taking it in and, you know, maybe not as, you know, when you're delivering a message, it's pretty intense and whatnot. Did you take it in at late and just go, oh, listen to the music, the crowd?
Yeah, it was just insane. I think because of the enclosed area, the enclosed roof, sorry, just the atmosphere was just trapped inside. And I think at the end there, when we were on the sideline, there's still a mark there from a couple of weeks ago. It's a Kansas City mark where it was just blurred out. And I was like, I just stood there and I was like, this is where them boys were, like this time after their full time. But obviously they won the Super Bowl, which is the biggest event in the world at the moment. And they were just here, like standing here a week ago. And then now we're here, like it's pretty insane. But yeah, it was good that the boys got the win, mate, and such a cool experience. I wish we were doing it again next year.
Yeah, I know. Well, it sounds like they're going to rotate it and then move it on from there. What about Bordeaux? Some of the coolest things you did away from, you know, the boys and as a coaching group, or even with the boys, just not talking, you know, footy. Like you said, just, I know you're in the hills there getting looked after by a couple of billionaires. Like, what are the highlights of the trip outside of the game?
Yeah, I think just the memories that you make, you know, away from footy. So when you're at training, you know, it's footy and everything's focused, but because we're in another country and it was pretty, such a great opportunity, you know, you want to make the most of where you are. And, you know, as you know, being a former footy player, you're in another country with your mates, you know, playing footy. And when you get that time away, you just want to enjoy it all and take it all in. So I think a couple of the boys might have touched on, we had some pretty cool things planned for us and went to visit a couple of cool houses, went to a couple of cool parties there in the hills. And that was just crazy just to think, you know, how much money or, you know, like this house that we went to was just a castle, mate, and it just blew your mind. And what else did we do? We knew that after the game we had a pretty cool night planned for us, and that was well known before we went over seas. So the boys had a little bit of a carrot at the end there. So it's always good to just plant that seed for them. But just the experience of just knowing that you're in another country, and you know, when we first got there, just having a beer together, and you know, that's all priceless, mate. All that sort of stuff, and you know, you can train as hard as you want and have the best game plan or game system, but if you aren't tight as a group, then you're not winning the comp. I'm telling you that much. So it was really good to spend a lot of that time together over there, and to bond over a few beers and that as well. It was awesome.
Mate, it's so good. Well done to you boys as well. I mean, it was a tough matchup to start, and he's got the chocolates, and yeah, stoked for you boys. That's awesome. I wanted to ask you because obviously coaching and playing, different perspective, but yeah, great start to the year and well done. Let's talk about you now. Let's talk about your career with Only Sport. Obviously, we start up with your upbringing and you know, where you grew up and what kind of sports you were playing as a young kid, and we'll dive into your career quickly after that. But yeah, talk to us where you grew up and what your upbringing looked like.
Yeah, sure. I grew up on the Mid-North Coast, which is about 3.5 hours from here, mate. Just got back there from the weekend, actually, to catch up with a bit of family. And it's a small coastal town. When I was growing up there, there's probably about 3,000 people living there. So, ever since I was a kid, ever since I could remember, I was always footy mad. Always loved footy. It's a religion back home, and it's all I ever wanted to do, to be honest. So, mate, I had a great upbringing. I suppose sort of fast forward to when I was 16, signed with the Roosters, moved down to Sydney, and it sort of all went from there. As a young kid coming from back home, at 16 years old, coming down and then doing my first full pre-season with NRL, it was pretty daunting, mate. It was scary, but you know, it was all I ever wanted to do, and I didn't know anything else. And you know, I was either going to sink or swim, and gave it my best shot. So I suppose from when I was 16 to a couple of years ago when I retired, I had a like to think I had a pretty successful career. But it all started from sort of where I come from. I never forgot that, and had a great upbringing, mate.
So yeah, I've only known you for the last 3-4 years, and you're one of the most humble blokes going around, and you wouldn't realize how successful you were, you know, and it's definitely the case, mate. So congratulations to you and I guess your family, because that's the way you've been brought up. When you go back home now, though, because as I said, you're a very successful man and it's a diehard kind of sport back where you are. What's it like, you know? And I know you would give everyone the time of day, but is it a really cool moment to go back there and see everyone and they get excited?
Yeah, it is. It's awesome, especially because most of my family is still back there, and it is a strong rugby league community. So every time I go back and go to the pub or anything, you know, you're always having a chat with the locals or someone that's had something little to do with your career. And it's awesome, mate, just to see, you know, how much joy still the game is bringing that community, and to sort of play a little part in that. You know, you always sort of make the time for them, and it's really good. Family, friends, and just being back there on the weekend, like I just touched on, I had my cousin's Memorial Day, so a lot of all the old boys were back for that, so it was good to catch up with everyone.
Yeah, do you want to touch on that and talk about what that, you know, what happened there and kind of what they do every year now?
Yeah, so my cousin, he passed away playing football in the Newcastle comp for the Central Butcher Boys, and he had a brain aneurysm on the field, and sadly he couldn't, you know, pull through. And every year now, we do a Memorial Day at the graveyard up at Old Bar there for the Old Bar Pirates, where he's originally from, and the team in Newcastle where the incident happened, and they come up every year, and it's just a full dedicated Memorial Day for him. And you know, it's maybe the second time now it's been run, but it was such a good day, mate, and family loved it, and it was just awesome to see everyone getting along from both clubs and dedicating the day to him. So
yeah, it's
awesome.
Special, mate. It's a beautiful touch from everyone back there. I just brought a, you know, your NFL fantasy name is Old Bar Pirates. Yeah, Old Bar Pirates. Makes, yeah, now it all makes sense, mate. It all makes sense. Now that's beautiful stuff. And yeah, again, sorry to hear about that. It's just great that you get back home. And yeah, like you said, whenever it's hard to get everyone together. It is hard to get, you know.
Especially when you get a bit older, mate. Everyone's got, you know, different responsibilities, kids and everything. So to, yeah, organise for everyone to just be in one spot at the same time, it's hard these days, mate. So it was very special.
Now, I know you skipped over a fair bit. You're 16, but we're going to get back to 16 in a second. Right. But I've heard you're very handy with the cricket bat. Even Steve Smith's dropping off a bat for you at the moment, playing 2020 in the off-season.
Yeah.
Were you a gun cricketer growing up?
Oh, I liked a lot of sports, mate, to be honest, but I took a liking to cricket. Really loved it from a young age, and my dad's a surfer and my brother loved the beach too. So, back home, it sort of coincided because it's a summer sport. Dad and my brother just wanted to be at the beach. I just wanted to play cricket. So he goes, mate, I'm happy to drop you off, but I'm not staying and watching. I'll pick you up on the way. I was like, I don't give a shit. I just want to play cricket. So, back home, played cricket, and then I'll stick around for the Arvo and see if I could get a game with the seniors as well. So played a bit of rep cricket back home, and then obviously footy was my number one sport, and stuck with that. But I'd like to think if I wasn't a footy player, I'd like to give cricket a go. So
that's great. Yeah. I remember I did the exact same thing, and I used to love playing seniors. Even we only played D grade, but it was with all like my mates' dads, and some of the fondest memories, just some of the shit they speak about. You're pretty, like, you know, I was pretty outgoing, but around them I was pretty shy. Yeah. And I remember, like, you're batting, you know, some old bloke's bowling, like, not really fast at you, but he's mouthing off at you, and you get a bit nervous.
Right, 100%. Some of the best memories.
Growing up and some hot, I was saying before, but as a parent, it'd be very hard watching someone hanging around all day to watch him maybe not bat or bat.
Well, I think he'd just wait around for the toss, and because I used to open the bat, if we chose the bat first, then he would stay and watch until I got out. But if we'll field and he was out of there.
See you next week. Yeah. Another question we ask is, if it wasn't for your success as a league player, what do you reckon you'd be doing?
Yeah.
So what kind of job do you think you would have fallen in outside? Like, if you were, you know, after school, where would Boyd Cordner, where would his career have gone?
See, that's sort of a hard question to answer, because honestly, like, actually didn't like anything else, other than sport. Or, you know, I think I touched on before, when I was a kid, when I say I put all my eggs in one basket, it was literally footy or bust, like, in sense of, like, I didn't like school, I never sort of really tried hard, I just wanted to turn up and fuck around with the boys, and that was my, and then on the weekends you just play footy, and that was it. And then when I was a bit younger, when I sort of realised I was half good at it, you know, I was like, well, this is what I'm doing. So I never really like dabbled into anything else, or so if I wasn't playing, if I didn't play league, I'd like to think I'd play another sport. But if not, then everything was off the table. I would have been on the bricks or on the tools somewhere, being a tradie.
I'm exactly like you. And I even said that growing up. Footy. And to be honest, it all goes really well. I mean, when I say it goes well, you kind of track yourself. Well, I'm in a state team now, or everything's going well. So you just, I don't know whether it's a good thing putting all your eggs in one basket. I know people say you got to have balance, and I understand study's huge, but do you get there if you don't have all the eggs in the basket? It's a good question.
Well, since being retired now, I'm not sure about you, but I look back and you sort of reflect on different moments, crucial moments in your career, and I'm like, mate, should have I? Because I think we might talk about it a bit later, my retirement. Because when I retired, I wasn't sort of like ready to. It all happened pretty suddenly, so I didn't have anything in place for me. And I was thinking, if I did have something else, would I not have like suffered as bad as I did because I've had something to go into? But then I'm like, there's no way in the world I'd be nearly as successful if I didn't have all my eggs in one basket with footy. If I had, something going on here, it'd take a bit of my focus away. So even when I go and speak to younger kids now, or, you go to different footy teams or functions, and they ask for one bit of advice for, what's your advice for young kids? And when I was growing up, or people, they used to say the safe answer of, well, make sure you do well at school, and because that's the right answer. Honestly, get up and just say, put all your eggs in one basket. If it's footy you want to do, dedicate your life to that. Or if it's ping pong or anything, you have to be fully immersed in that to even think about, being successful or living your dream. So that's just from me. And I think you're a pretty similar view. But when I get caught in them thoughts, I'm like, nah, I'm so happy with the way I've done it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the success I did, I don't think.
I'm thinking about Tom Brady and his speech when he came out, and he kind of was, I don't think he said it like that, but it sounded like that as well. He was, and it sounds like he's going to have that mindset with his commentary. You know,
yeah.
There's something about putting everything into, and whether it's, there's got to be balance with, your partner and your family, which you've definitely got, but off field, it's always good to have something else. Don't get me wrong, but you're right. How much effort would be going into your recovery or an extra meeting or extra vision and all
exactly.
that if you've got something else?
And you know what? I'm not saying it's like, that's the only way. Like, people do study and they need that release from footy. But for me, I needed just footy because too many distractions for me. I'd get a little bit cloudy. But everyone's different and everyone finds their own balance. But, yeah.
You're right. Everyone is different. That's why it's good to get advice and be honest. You're right.
Yeah.
If me and you were standing up there going, make sure you do well at school.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you get picked up and you can't get into uni, I'm a fraud because I put everything into footy and then
did courses to get into uni or whatever. And preach that, so.
Nah, that's great. And let's go back to 16. How physically developed were you at 16? You're a big boy, but when you go on a pre-season, and I admire what you guys do, I think you're warriors. I don't know how hard, you guys hit so hard.
Yeah.
Obviously there's technique involved, but at 16 years old, like, talk to me about how daunting that was. And do you remember like your first hit shoulder to shoulder with someone at training?
So, mate, I was pretty well physically developed by the time I was 16. I already had probably this beard on me, to be honest.
One of those blokes.
Yeah, I used to play at 101, 102 kilos. When I come down at 16, I was like 96 kilos. So I wasn't that far off. I remember just rocking up to my first training session pre-season and, having guys like Willie Mason and Mark O'Mealy, who were just these stalwarts of the game and who I idolised growing up for New South Wales and everything. So to be finally doing, drills with them, it was, it was bizarre and mind-blowing. But, yeah, I can just remember how hungry I was as a kid and had good support from home. Obviously, Dad was a big pillar for me. And, I was just so motivated, mate, at that age. And looking back on it now, when I see 16-year-olds, I'm like, when we look back and think about some of the proudest moments of my life or where it went right, I look back on that time, honestly, and go, how in the fucking hell did I do that, And like I said, I look at 16-year-old kids now coming through and I'm like, fuck, I'm like super proud of myself for pulling through that, because at the end of that pre-season, I ended up playing an NRL trial match at 16 years old. And I flew back home because I spent all my time down for that pre-season in Sydney. So I missed a bit of school and then I flew back home after the pre-season. After Christmas, I went back home and the trial matches were starting beforehand, like early March or whatever it was, late Feb. And I went down, played a trial match and then come back to Sydney and they're like, oh, how was it? Rah, rah. They still didn't believe me that I played, NRL at 16. And yeah, went from there and talking about the brutality of it all, it's a bittersweet thing because by the time I was 21, Tommy, I was talking about it the other day, I had 9 surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah, on my body. So whether it was the smartest thing or not to start that young, I reckon it definitely paid a part in, the load and physical stress that I had on my body at that young age that, I just like broke down. I was just playing footy was all I ever wanted to do. So every time I got injured, like honestly, it just motivated me even more to get back and to live out my dream. So, it taught me a lot too, I think, just a lot about resilience and my character as well from a young age, moving away from home and doing what I was doing and, dealing with these setbacks at a young age and to be able to pull through that, it's definitely something that I look back on for sure and super proud of.
Yeah, mate, that's outstanding. Bordo, what were some of the injuries that you had? So 9 surgeries before 21.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
What were the most significant ones out of the 9?
Well, even before I moved to Sydney, I had 4 operations on my right knee when I was 15 years old, just with cartilage and stuff. And then when I was 17, I had an ACL. I had 2 syndesmosis injuries, so I had to get surgery on those. Tore my pec. That was in pre-season in the weight room, and I smashed my jaw. Had to get surgery on that. So they're the ones that just come to mind at the moment. So yeah.
You just reminded me, SAS, when you were on there. I was going to get to there later, but was that your pec?
That was me pec.
And was it the same pec?
Other one? Yeah.
Let's just talk about SAS because I just remembered the pec and I remember watching it. And, yeah. You know, I was really excited to watch her and it was flattening, as you know, and as flat you were, you wanted to win it. But your body went down. Anyway, talk to me about like that experience.
Yeah.
And how painful is the pec injury?
Yeah, no, it was a crazy experience, to be honest. It all happened pretty quick, like leading up to it and signing a contract for it. But just the opportunity from where it was filmed, it was over in Jordan in the Middle East, in the Wadi Rum Desert. So like that enticed me as well. And then obviously being retired and being a little bit lost with not having anything to work for, where we're normally, you know, every day we've got something to work for. So I thought it was a good sort of a good opportunity for me to knuckle down and shoot for something again, which was unbelievable to have that as a goal for me. And then, fast forward to when we flew over and just the excitement around it all and watching it on TV before, you know, you like to think that you'd go all right. You sit there and you go, shit, that'd be good. I'd be able to do that. So, went over there, and when it all started, they try and keep the crew separate, so you don't really know who's in there until they bring you all together. But when you get over, you sort of know. But then that first day, sort of sorting everyone out, seeing where you are, and I was looking around, I was like, fuck, I'm actually feeling pretty comfortable here, because mate, there was about, after that first day, there was about 5 contestants that wanted to just go. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. And I was going, oh, this should be okay. And then, it was the next morning. Obviously, that day before, we've just been getting touched up and getting flogged. So hardly had any sleep. It was freezing cold at night time in the desert, and got up early to do that challenge. And, the first thing I sort of done, and like after doing a heap of push-ups the day before and like, obviously no recovery or no rest, and then jumping onto that rope, and like as soon as it went, it was the same feeling as my other pec happened. It was just like Velcro, and it just pulled. And at that time, I knew what happened, but I thought it was the same pec. I was like, shit, is this the same pec? And then when I was sort of trying to swim back, I was like, no, it's a different one. So, got back into shore, and sure enough, they're like, fuck off, get over there, sit down, you failed. And mate, I could feel my pec was just like balled up down here. I'm going, shit, this isn't good. But normally in a like a sporting space, in how professional our sports are, you have, if you get injured, you have a million physios fussing over you, you know, the doctors coming up to you. Mate, I was just sitting there, like freezing cold, like, no one come up to me at all. And I'm going, what's happening here? Like, I've actually something pretty bad. And then no one sort of saw me till we got back to the camp, and the doc got me into his room, and I was like, he goes, mate, it's obviously like your pec, how bad is it? And I took my shirt off and it was brought up there, and he goes, yeah, shit, that's pretty bad. He goes, what do you want to do? I was like, well, mate, to be honest, I don't want to hand my number in, like, but honestly, what more can I do on this course? And he goes, well, just hang around. Let's just see if you can get through the course, because I know, Ant, they probably want you to like, go out doing something rather than, doing it here right now. So I hung around and ended up doing another challenge, but they didn't show that. Yeah, I done the tunnel one with the water.
Yeah, where people kept stuffing up the start.
Yeah,
I remember watching that.
Yeah, so, mate, I ended up getting through that. And
did you, without the pec?
And completing that. I was stuck in this tunnel, and I had to have this arm above my head, so I was actually pretty bummed when they didn't show me doing that. But looking back on it, obviously, it probably wouldn't have been the best look for them, especially because at that time, they didn't know how bad it was. So when I went home and had to get surgery and that, I think they're going, shit, that was pretty serious. I don't think we can sort of show him. But, yeah, they ended up getting through that that challenge and went back to the camp. And I was still just hanging around, just going, I was in my own head thinking, how am I going to get through this? Like, there's no way I'm handing him my number, but I'm just going to go as far as I can. So I flicked a switch and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go after it here. Like, who cares? You know, it's no good, but fuck, let's just see how far I can go. So I ended up going to bed that night and it was about 12 o'clock and I heard my number being called. So I obviously raced in and it was the doc and he goes, mate, tomorrow, like they're going to get you up for a beasting tonight, which you probably might get through, but tomorrow they're doing the abseiling down this tower. He goes, if your pec's gone, you're controlling it yourself. So if you can't, or if that blows out, he goes, it's going to be dangerous. We can't have that. So then he goes, mate, we've got to pull you out because we know that you'll probably want to keep going. So they ended up, I don't know how it looked on the show. I didn't really watch it, to be honest, but yeah, they took my number off me and that was it, mate. Pretty short, but sweet. And
no, I watched it. It was it was emotional because I know what kind of bloke you are. You just summed it up. You're a fighter. You don't give up. As you said, we all gone through it. I was going through it post footy. You're a bit lost. You got no premiership. You know, you normally wake up every day, try to get better for the flag and the team. You're not around people. You've gone over there for the challenge. And I know with your rugby, you know, with your career, you had to give it up because of concussion
of
stuff.
Body, and you're like,
so I'll go through this and same thing. So yeah, I just remember watching the interview, but they didn't show that challenge. And I remember watching that. And once you were out, I stopped watching. I was just keen to tune in and, you're a machine. I can't believe you got through that with one and then you're going to keep going.
I was just like...
A bit of a concern they didn't tap you out earlier, to be honest.
Yeah, so I think they would have thought that I would have handed it in, not got through that challenge.
Yeah.
And then when they were sort of... Because at the first, what I was talking to, I was like, fuck, no one's coming to see me. What's going on? And then it sort of made me just flick a switch and go, nah, fuck you. This is what's going to happen. And then they're like, nah, do this next challenge. Because I think they were like, oh, we'll get him, like, throwing his number in during a challenge rather than, like, just doing it here.
Because the TV, they want to see the theatre.
And then I ended up getting through it. And then I was like, I got through that. And it just sort of gave me a bit of momentum going, fuck this, I'm just going to go for it, eh? And then, yeah.
Stick it up and show it.
But I was, spewing that they didn't show that because, I was overseas at the time when it was being aired and I couldn't watch it where I was. And I was like, oh, have they shown the tunnel? Like, nah, it's coming up next. And then I had a couple of mates go, no, they didn't show her. So I was pretty bummed, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm bummed as well. In fact, I'm glad we're shooting this podcast here and we're letting people know about the resilience of this man. It'd be great for them to, to come out and say something about that. Yeah, that's crazy. That sounds brutal. That, like, the fact that you've done your pec and you're still just sitting in your own thoughts and I'm just thinking. So, do you have a relationship with anyone? The guys that are bossing you around, do they message you afterwards and say I'd like to catch up or is it just pure business?
Yeah, it's pure business. Like, you got to sign a waiver and stuff before you go on, obviously, because it's so strenuous the course and you got to be responsible for any injury. But they do have psychs on there and stuff, but. Mate, I've dealt with a million injuries before. I knew what I was getting into, so I was actually pretty sweet once it was all done. But they did have stuff around and things in place. But for them, I didn't expect the phone call or anything. Like, the show goes on for them, but they were really nice to the lads, like the staff and everything after it. You know, they're good dudes. Obviously, they've got a job to do and they have to be full, serious. And it is that when you're in there, it's like they don't put it on. Like, it's that for all the time you're in there. But then obviously when they're humans as well and they've got a job to do. So when it was all said and done, they're actually really good dudes.
That's good. Yeah. Well, your interview at the end, I thought they were really nice and they got around you pretty well.
You should get on it, mate.
Oh man, I reckon I probably need a challenge like that. Yeah. Would you do it again?
I would do it again.
Yeah, like when the body's completely ready to go and off season, go again.
Yeah, I think only because of how focused and locked in I was before it. It gave me a purpose again, like we were talking about. And Well, to be honest, well, I don't know if the honest answer would be yes, but I'll definitely think about it for sure.
You'd be good to see. You deserve a second chance. What do you win on that as well, before I skip over it? Is there prize money for that one?
There's no prize money. It's just
pride.
Pride, and then obviously your deal with the company, like going on how, like with money. So you sign a contract before you go on if you...
So the longer you go, the more you get?
Well, depends how you... Every contract's different. I think for some, there's like a one-off fee going...
Sign-on fee.
Yeah, sign-on fee.
Local footy, yeah. 20 grand a year, guaranteed. 10 grand, guaranteed. Yeah.
But then there's obviously, I think, contestants gone by where it's like the longer you get, the more you get.
So incentivize it.
Little incentive.
Like a match payment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Baker Mayfield just signed the 100 million, 3 years deal.
It's pretty... we'll have a laugh. I'm not sure if you know Akimenez, but...
Yeah, I don't know him, but I've heard about him. He used to play footy in the community, like where I went to school, so a few blokes played with him.
He obviously got a one-off fee because he was straight out of there.
That's like they didn't build it up, because you see some big names and then they just... They put the flag up. That's very good. Let's go back to the footy. I know there'll be a huge... there'll be a lot of people listening that love you, and 16 years old, you go in, 21, you've had all those surgeries. When did you feel like you started to really take over and your career started to, you know, kick off in terms of, you know, just state of origin, becoming a leader and really, you know, becoming really confident in your role? Where did you feel like you were in your prime?
Yeah, so I debuted at 18 years old in 2011, but to be honest, it wasn't until 2013, when I was 21, where I felt like I belonged. And that year, I had sort of a breakout year for myself, and the confidence I got out of that and the team we had, to be honest, that's the first year I sort of felt like that I could make make my mark on a game and change the momentum of a game. So, yeah, that was probably my breakout year. I debuted Origin that year when I was 21. I was vice captain of the Sydney Roosters at that age, and then... I debuted for Australia in the World Cup at the end of that year. So looking back on it, that was definitely, a breakout year for me. And the confidence that I got out of that year, it definitely set me up for the rest.
Yeah. Who's someone that you learn a lot off growing up? Some of the big names you've already mentioned, but who was someone that made a huge impact on your career? I mean, there'd be a lot, but like just someone maybe at training or a coach that really took you under their wing early days or even throughout.
Yeah, I think the coach at the moment and who I'm assisting coaching is Trent Robertson, who came to the club at 2013, and we won the comp that year, won it in his first year. And so from 2013 to now, that's what, 11 years we've had together. And mate, I've learned a hell of a lot off him, and especially being 21 to then growing up and how many different stages of life you go through that year 20s. He taught me a lot. And you know, I got a lot to owe him for. You know, apart from my old man and having the biggest influence on my life and obviously my footy career. In regards to my footy, definitely he would have a big mark on that. And then I go to my peers and my players as well. And just thinking of a guy straight away who I've spent a lot of time in the trenches with is big Jared Hargraves. Mate, we come through together. He's a few years older than me, but he's someone that I looked up to from a young age, and mate, I love him, eh? Just the way he plays, and then the person he is off the field, and how he is around the club. Like you said, I've played with a lot of amazing players and some really good rep teams as well. But yeah, mate, I've made some friends for life, and probably just those two guys. I could go on and name a heap, but they're two guys that have, you know, had a big influence on me.
It's great. It's I know you could go on. That's why I love asking and keeping it short with a few people, because you could name a lot. What's one thing that if you were to go to a school now and talk about some advice in terms of, you know, when you, maybe like you just said, like, it doesn't matter how talented you are and whatnot, but you're just talking about the men they are away from the field and your old man, all the lessons they've learned. What kind of advice do you give these young kids that are probably striving, you know, for greatness? Not the kids that are at school just not even interested in league, but some blokes that you know are going to go on and, you know, maybe they're in AOS or this, I don't know what, like, state leagues they're in, but what kind of advice do you give them?
I think just trust yourself, listen to yourself, They're going to be people giving a lot of advice everywhere, including myself, being assistant coach. But you got to where you are, and you are who you are because of yourself and the decision that you made. So at the end of the day, you trust what you think is right, and you go after that for what you truly believe in and who you stand for. You just back that 100% of the way. Don't try and conform and be someone that you're not, because people these days, or especially smart people, will look straight through that. If you're a genuine person and have a really good heart and you really want to go after something, you take advice from people that you respect. But at the end of the day, you trust your own gut feeling and you do what's right, because I've had a lot of advice too off some senior players, and you know, in regards to injuries and health, and you know, I do listen. But when you get a bit older, you say, oh, I wish I had to listen to him when I was younger. But mate, when I was 21 years old, I wasn't listening. I was doing my own thing. You know what I mean? And I look back on that now, and that's my journey. You know, I decided to do that. Someone older than me could have said anything they wanted to me, but I was going to do it my way. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that I'm very proud of myself too, is that I didn't conform or I didn't listen. I was going to back myself, put all my chips on myself, and again, respecting those guys and listening to them and taking and fitting into a club and a system and a team. But I was always going to do it my way until I learned lessons the hard way from myself. And you know, that would probably be my one bit of advice to anyone out there listening, or young athletes that are close to making it.
Yeah, it's good advice. It's great advice, actually, especially from someone like yourself. People that know you know that there's been a lot of success. I want to talk about the highs, and then we'll talk about the lows. Talk about some of the highs. Looking back now, you said, you've reflected, even junior footy, you know, growing up. But yeah, how do you sum up your career? What are some of the fondest memories you've got front of mind?
Yeah, obviously from a young age, when footy was fun, like running out with your mates, because that's what it was all about. And then sort of fast forward to the NRL career, State of Origin, playing for my country as well. You know, obviously leading out my state, the Blues, was a massive achievement for me. I was only 24 years old at the time, so that was a huge achievement at that time for me, and something that I'll always be, blown away by. And I got to captain my country, win State of Origins, I won a couple of World Cups, and then obviously the premierships on top of that. There was a couple of years there, mate, 2018 and 19, where I didn't think life could get any better. I went back-to-back premierships, back-to-back State of Origins, and then played for captain my country both years. And I just thought that, you know, untouchable. And then, mate, the end of the next year, I had to retire because of injury. So,
yeah,
mate, talk about the highs. But then, mate, he went downhill pretty quick, because that was the start of COVID. And then, ended up with the head knocks and whatnot at the end of that year. Ended up having to pull the curtains over on it. So as good as you think you're going, and you know, that's life, but hey, it can just flip on its head like that. And that's what happened with me NRL career, mate. But I was lucky enough to experience some really good success through that time. And I suppose that it made it a lot easier to come to my decision at the end of the day too.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, you're spot on. I was just thinking, like, if you didn't have the success, you wonder, you know, I know how long the decision took, you know, I know how hard the decision was. Well, yeah. I don't know, actually. In fact, only you'll know, but
yeah.
I know that it wasn't an easy decision. How hard was, let's talk about that. Like, how hard was that decision, and how hard, was it off the high?
Yeah.
Like, you know, open up, show me, give me examples of what you was going through your head when all this, you know, I guess, when you started thinking about life after footy, and you know, how you come to terms with the decision.
Yeah, it was definitely the darkest time of my life for sure. And so when it all sort of started to happen mid-year, when I was getting concussions, I had a few before, but I never suffered symptoms. And then I started suffering the concussion symptoms from the mid-year when I got it in 2020, and they were like, mate, it was awful, like really bad. And
what are the symptoms for those?
Headache, like sensitivity to light, you know, the ringing in your ears, all of that. And then, so I had to have a period of time off that year, and I come back, and to be honest, it probably wasn't right, but we were shooting for our third, our three-peat, and we're in a really good position. And I didn't want to miss out on that. So we're coming into finals there, and I played the rest of that year. We didn't get it done. We had a couple of crucial injuries back end of the year, so we didn't get it done. And then Origin was played at the end of that year because of COVID. It couldn't be played mid-year. So then, you know, probably the smartest thing for me to do was to, you know, give Origin a miss and get ready because of what happened through the year, and I wasn't still feeling right, but how much that jersey meant to me, there was no way I was sitting out of that. And then ended up first game there, getting another head knock, and it just sent everything just through the roof, like tenfold, and just with obviously the symptoms and that. And made it, that was at the end of the year. And then never once did I think that I would retire. I was always like, no, I'll get on top of this. I'll get back and play next year. I just need to get this right. And then, mate, 1 month, 2 months on, I was just, nothing was working. I was seeing specialists and having some medication to try and get on top of these headaches, but nothing was working at all. And then I was like, hang on, fuck, my health is number one here. I'm just getting right, that's it. And then, so footy was on the back burner a bit, and I knew that, you know, I wasn't in a good way, and it was all in the papers everywhere here. And, you know, it was public business, so I was like trying to tell everyone that I was okay, but really I knew that I wasn't. And then going down the street, everyone's asking you about it, and I couldn't escape it, and family were so worried about me, so I had so much pressure on me just to, you know, I felt that I had so much pressure, and I probably didn't, but in my own head I was just creating this whole big storm going on where I couldn't really get anywhere or put anything in place, and everything just kept piling up. And then, fast forward to coming back to play, I was back training and still wasn't okay. Like, I still was having headaches, and and then I just had to make a decision because I was returning to play like in that next week. I was like, if I don't say anything now, like I'm locked in. And then I was like, mate, what does the next head knock look like?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean? I'm like, well, so yeah, I had to have there was a day there where I had just a day to myself and had to have a couple of tough conversations with myself, and then come to the decision that, you know, it was, I've got advice off specialists and stuff that I wasn't safe, but then, yeah, knowing that I wasn't ready to play, I'm still no good, mate. And then, made the decision, told my partner, and then got Robbo over and let him know that, you know, it was going to be it. So, as you can imagine, that time for me was just hell, to be honest, because at that, I think I was 28 when I retired, and I still had so much more to give, and I still wanted to achieve so much more. That was just my mindset. I wanted to go after everything and be, you know, as successful as I could for our club, the Sydney Roosters, for New South Wales still. So, but the thing that helped that decision was what happened in my career before that. I'm like, well, mate, not many people have got to say or have got to do what I've done. And when you get to that age too, Tommy, it's, you know, your perspective on life starts to change as well. And, you know, looking forward to the next stage with a family and stuff. So, I took everything into account, and I'm really content with the decision I've made, mate. And, moving on now, and things are getting better.
Nah, I appreciate you sharing all those thoughts. And, it's so hard to think about what you went through because you're in your absolute prime. Like you said, you've just come off. And not only that, it's a bit like your mindset when you tore your pec, like you just don't want to give up and all these thoughts. How did you feel when you made the decision? I'd imagine the successful club that the Roosters are and your networks and you being such a great bloke and being brought up with a lovely family, the weight would have been off the shoulders, was it? And did you just get a lot of support and you're just overwhelmed?
Yeah, I was overwhelmed. Mate, as soon as I told my partner and my coach that I was going to retire, mate, the weight of the world just lifted off my shoulders, and it was the most relaxed I've felt in months. And mate, and that's how I knew I made the right decision. And I always thought leading up to that, the easiest thing to do would have was for me to just go, nah, I'm out, I'm retiring. And I always took the hard route, no matter what, in my life. So I was like, I'm going to fight, I'm going to get back. But, mate, looking back on it now, the hardest thing for me to do was to retire. Mm. The easiest thing for me to do was just not say a thing and wait till the next head knock and play on. So looking back on it now, and, yeah, when I did announce my retirement, the amount of support from not only the club and my family and friends, but the rugby league community, it's pretty special. You never really knew how much of an impact I had on that community until I retired, and, mate, it's something that it was something that sort of blew me away, mate. So.
Oh, well, you've given so much to the state and your team and the league. It's always the case, isn't it? It's like once you retire, I guess you're no longer a competitor. They're not cheering against you. The Queenslanders are now putting their arm around your shoulder saying, mate, we actually love you. We love you. Nah, it's good. It's great. And how are you going now? Like, you talk about that post, that transition, which is very tough. I can speak about it because I gave it up early as well, injuries. No, it didn't have the success that you did, but didn't change. You just feel like there's a big hole in your heart. You're not chasing something that you've chased since you're a young kid.
Yep.
How did you go? Was it a tough transition? Obviously, COVID, I was like the exact same time as you as well. So kind of can relate, a bit lost and you lose your purpose a little bit and you lose all the people that you love. Like, you can't just roll into a footy club and have a laugh every day. You're probably on your own a bit more. But how did you, I guess, go through that period? And then when did you decide, I want to get back in and start coaching?
Yeah, so I think number one for me, once I announced everything, the number one thing for me was to get healthy again and to get on top of everything with going on with my head. And that's what I did. I knuckled down with that and done countless testing and done everything I could to sort of get right and make sure I was sweet. And everything's going well now. I got on top of everything. All the testing has been awesome, scans and everything. So I'm very pleased with that. And I'm very healthy now. The head's going really well. And I've always kept in contact with the club. Like, I was always in and around still with the boys. And slowly just got drip-fed some responsibility with a little bit of coaching. And then, just sort of snowboarded into, footy's all I've ever known. I've got nothing else. So, I got to enjoy a little bit of downtime. But, I've sort of been in with the club ever since. And sort of progress to assistant coaching role now, mate. So
it's awesome.
In regards to the challenges and that, it's real. It's dead set real, like you spoke about. I think the thing for me is the thing I struggle with the most is not having people relying on you. Like, I love that pressure of, your teammates are relying on you to turn up, and your fan base and the enormity of that, and having that pressure on you and the feeling of not letting anyone down and having everyone that just the ultimate high of, all right, this is it, to then go on, no one's relying on me. They just, like, what do I do? How do I get this?
No accountability anyway.
Well, you can't. Like, there's no responsibility. Like, how do I have that, get that again? No matter what you do, you just can't manufacture that, like, that feeling and of the highest of highs of that pressure situation to then losing and then being down there, mate, you're just staying like this now. And that was the hardest thing for me to deal with, was just having that, the dealing with the emotion of it all and not having, anyone to that responsibility of not letting anyone down. And obviously the mateship that comes with that, the camaraderie, everything, being told where to be, what to do, not having that schedule. So there's just a couple of things that, you get told by older guys that be careful when you do, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll be sweet. Yeah. But until it hits you in the face, mate, I'm telling you, it's a real thing.
And I think it's something that it's funny. I guess we're, like, a bit younger. It's more, when I was a young guy and I was probably 24 and you're playing every week and some old player comes in, talks about off field and, building your life, buy a house, do this, just going, how long's this shit going to go? Then when you retire, you start actually, you finish up and you're a bit younger than you thought and you feel like you've got more to give and it's for other different reasons. I just remember going, far out. You don't realise how good it is until it's taken away from you, do you? And all these young guys I see now, sometimes you start talking about what we call the real world and and you see yourself in them. They're not even listening and they're not interested, which is kind of fine. They're driven to, but it's it's a real thing, and it's something that I think, like, I don't know if there's like a, I know there's an AFLPA, it's a Players Association. I'm sure there's a Players Association for you guys, but yeah, they're really big on the mental health, but also that transition phase, because a lot of people can get lost. Yeah, it's really good that you shared that. What if, when you how is your head now? Like, because I don't understand it, right? So those headaches and everything you were going through. Once you made that decision to say, "Oh, no longer, like, I'm going to retire due to this," how long did it take till you felt like did you feel $1 million again, or did it take like, is it always going to be?
Yeah, and I was always a long burn, only because I was still going through that. So from when it happened, it was probably like 3 or 4 months when I made my decision. Like, I still haven't, you know, had any relief from the symptoms. So that was still a challenge for me. But I think the number one thing that did help me was announcing that retirement, because I was carrying so much of that stress, and it was just probably accelerating everything so much more. When I did retire, I found that as soon as I made that decision, that everything just started to smoothly, slowly come good. And that was just with the work that I put in. And it took about 6 months, to be honest, to become fully sweet. But yeah, then it's now, it's just keeping on top of everything, making sure everything's sweet. So
I'm so glad that you made that decision, mate. I think everyone is, even you, I know that's definitely so content still. Mate, especially with what you just said, 6 months post, like, that's it's scary to think what could have happened, you know. What about coaching, right? I'm just sitting there going, all right, yeah, you just told me you put all your eggs in a footy. You finished early. You've captained your country. You know, you can't underestimate the knowledge that you've got in your brain, and you can't underestimate the, you know, the man you are around the group. Have you got aspirations to coach one day?
Yeah, so it's funny. When I was playing, I never thought I'd want to be a coach. I'm like, no, not coaching, but because of the way it all ended and I didn't have anything in place and I just was in there, I'm starting to get a real passion for it, mate. The more responsibility that I've got, we were talking about before, the more that I'm liking it. And then to see, you know, the amount of work that you put in through a pre-season, how long the days are, and the work that you put into these guys, and then for them to come out and put in a performance like that on round one in Vegas, that's the first time that I've sort of felt like that, wow, this is actually pretty cool what I'm doing. So hopefully it continues like that, and then you never know. With all this stuff, it's new to me. I'm learning again, which is good. And then with the knowledge that I do have, I suppose it doesn't really feel like work for me. It just feels natural, but there's a lot of other things that I can upskill myself onto in that space. So we'll keep working on it, Tommy.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, mate. Could be State of Origin coach. I can visualise it. I'm telling you right here. That's what will happen. I mean, you see Billy Slater now, and I don't know Billy, but I know that he's a superstar, and I feel like State of Origin, we just spoke to, you know, the boys before, it's sometimes just about getting that group together and keeping it simple, and you understand it better than anyone. So, it's just good to see you thriving in the role, mate. It's it's actually really cool. It's really cool knowing what you went through, and I really appreciate you sharing that stuff. And we're seeing a lot more, you know, like, I know Angus Brayshaw just come out recently, and Paddy McCartan from the Swannies in the AFL, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of other NRL guys that are going to look to you and be like, you know, without you making that decision, mate, it would have been harder for me. So you should be really proud with the decision.
That's the thing too, mate. When I was going through it, I didn't want to talk about it at all. But now, since I've come through the other side, I'm happy to tell my story. And that's the thing too, if I can help just anyone, I know that when I did do that, a lot of people reached out and were saying, mate, congratulations, I've got a lot out of that, I was going through something similar, thanks for... So, mate, I'm telling my story, and if it can just help anyone out there or do anything like that, I'm happy, you know, so...
We all are, mate. No, well done, well said, mate, it's awesome. There's a bit of a... bit of a change up here, but we go to halftime with our pilot flop. You know, this is one of our major segments here. We are, you know, hard made easy. Obviously, if you're struggling in the bedroom, guys, head to pilot.com.au. Use our Aces 20 discount code, a one-time use, and they'll look after you. Bordo, if you don't know who Pilot is, you will now. If you need to go to the doctors or you need anything, you just go online. You don't have to talk about the doctors. It's all confidential. You just pick up the phone and Pilot are there. So that's why we love Pilot. Our halftime segment, our biggest flop.
Biggest flop.
We've all had a few flops. As successful as you are, we all have a moment in time that's very embarrassing. Pilots, flops.
Boydo.
Yeah.
When's a moment you've had a really embarrassing time on the field or off the field? Your pilot flop.
Yeah. Oh, mate, there would have been millions, but one that I think of like now, sitting here talking to you, that was... So at trainer, I'll put this into context. You know how like you turn up, well, we do anyway, and everyone thinks they're a goal kicker. So when you're a young kid, everyone used to goal kick for their team. So like before training, you'd line up and kick, and I used to, you know, be all right at kicking. And then one game we had, I was only young. This would have been maybe 22 years old. All of our kickers were out, and the coach come up to me and goes, mate, I'm going to goal kick. You're going to goal kick this week. I'm going, yeah, sweet, righto, what is that? And then, so leading up to that game, I was only thinking, I was shitting myself. I was only thinking about goal kicking. I was going down to the local park, practicing my goal kicks just to, like, not be, like, horrendous. And I was, like, shitting myself, like, proper. And then game time come around and we scored and I was like, holy hell. It was from the sideline. I'm going, just fuck, get it close. Just get it close. Sprayed it. I was like, oh no, that's a shit start. And then the next one we scored, it was a little bit closer. Sprayed it again. Message come down, mate, just fuck, he's pulled. Don't let him kick again. So I was like, here we go. I spent all my energy and everything. I was going to be all right and just blew it. And that was the last time I ever got my goal kicking license. Fucking
got it stripped.
Yeah, got it stripped.
Oh, so. That is brilliant. That is a great flop, a great moment. I hope we're going to get footage. Do you know who you're playing that
game?
Yeah,
it was against Manly. We won the game, thank God.
Was it at home?
Yeah,
it was at lucky home. It's at home because on the road, you'd probably be copping it.
Yeah,
the
I know.
That's a great moment. And a lot of appreciation, no doubt, for the boys that can kick.
Yeah, I know, definitely. I wasn't ready to kick at all, but I wasn't going to say no to the coach. So yeah. I was just, mate.
Oh, mate, when you're doing SAS with no peck, you're not going to fall into kicking competition on game day.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There you go. That's a pilot flop from Boyd Cordner, one of the greats. I love that segment. Our pilot flops have been amazing. I think we should put a little compilation together. A lot of the boys have had some really good moments. We'll scoot the back end here. We'll talk a little bit of American sport. Just quickly, congratulations again. Boyd has won our NFL Fantasy League
good.
2 years out of three. You've got some cash coming your way very soon. How are you so good at NFL Fantasy? Is it because your knowledge for the game is so good or what?
I don't know.
We can't work it out.
Yeah, no, mate, I don't know because I've won a couple of lover comps too, like with the Roosters comp. So, as you know, a lot of it is luck. Like, it is proper luck, but... Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue. I like to think I know a little bit about the game and know me players, but at the same time, mate, it's definitely luck with injuries and that. You know firsthand.
Well, you deserve the luck.
I'll take it. I'll say that I'm a genius.
Yeah. I reckon you've earned a salary out of that fantasy. Right? Just dominating. And I think it's, you know, we like to crank our prize money up every year and you're just capitalising. It's brilliant. I think Teddy might have reached out and pulled out. He was going to join you. Have you given him a little nudge to say, hey, mate?
I'll give him a nudge. I think he knows how big it's getting, Dongy. So
is he
going
to join next year?
He could be a special guest next year. I'll try and get him over the line.
Oh, well, if he doesn't accept your offer, then you know he's never going to come across because you're a two-time champ. The Tom Brady of fantasy. When did you fall in love with NFL? How old were you and you know, who got you involved in it?
Yeah, so I've always watched it from afar. It was probably 2014, to be honest, where I was watching it and... We spoke about earlier in the podcast, my team, my junior club back home were the Old Bar Pirates and we have a very similar emblem to the Tampa Bay Bucks, so I just had that affiliation straight away. And then when Famous James was coming through and there was big hype around him and then he got drafted to Tampa, that's when I sort of was like, oh, hang on, because Tampa's always been rubbish until 2002 we won. They've always been rubbish, and then I was like, well, we could go good here. I might just keep a close eye. And then from then till maybe 2016 when I started my first fantasy comp, and Luke Keary actually, he'd come to the club and he's like, mate, it'll change your life. Trust me, like, it's the best thing ever. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll get into it. And then ever since I started fantasy, I've just religiously just been obsessed with it. So... setting the alarm at 2:50 in the morning on Mondays and, you know, watching every game. And, yeah, it's just from basically, 2016, I reckon I've been yeah, fully into it. So
good. And then Tom Brady just comes across at the right time.
And then, yeah, that was hard because even like now when people ask my favourite team, I say team, they're like, oh, yeah, because of Tom Brady. But if you go back through my Instagram, I've got a famous James jersey
there you
on.
Go,
so,
you're a real
yeah, I'm a real one. So I can go, nah, piss off. Like, look at this.
And he's like, as many interceptions as he throws touchdowns, but he's very entertaining. He's one of my favourite players to watch. Just some of the stuff he does.
How good are his interviews?
Oh, his interviews.
He's funny.
Talk about authentic. Like, he is the best. Yeah, I love him. I think he's awesome. But yeah, that's great. And then what about NBA? Are you an NBA man?
Yeah, I follow NBA a little bit, not as into it as I am the NFL, but I do follow the Clippers. When we went over just before, we got to watch them play the Sacramento Kings, and they got done actually. But yeah, since when Blake Griffin was there, loved him coming out of college, and then he's obviously gone off now. But yeah, a little bit, mate. A little bit of NBA.
Mainly NFL. Well, this leads to my second last question here. We like to say, if you could be anyone in the world for a week, so you just get to jump into their body while you're thinking, I'll give you some insights to some answers. But blokes have always gone for a superstar or maybe their best friend, because then you can hang out with a superstar, but if you could put yourself in their body for a week, what would you be doing that week, and who would it be in the world? Just so you could get a little bit of a taste of the lifestyle.
Yeah, we just touched on him. Tom Brady, Super Bowl week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At Tampa or Patriots?
Tampa, for sure.
Wasn't that COVID year, though?
Yeah, it would have been, but like...
There's still a crowd, actually.
Mate, just to, see just how he ticks and leading up to the biggest game of his sort of life, and then watching him and just admiring, what he's achieved through the game and... hearing some of the stories of what he's like, and so probably him, to be honest. But then again, you could say like Tiger Woods for Masters Week, how crazy would it be just to be, just to get a taste of what's
going through their head,
what makes them tick, and what makes them so good.
Well said. I think we're all on the same page here. We know Ozmerican Aces. Anyone that's fresh to the channel, it's Ozmerican for a reason, Australian and American sports fans, and that's exactly what Bordeaux and I are. So there you go, mate. Well, I can't send you home without something. Obviously, the sunglass brand, Rick's Eyewear. Anyone out there that needs some sunglasses, head to rickseyewear.com.au and use the discount code ACES. You'll get 20% off and free express shipping. Bordeaux, chuck the Soho cherries on, mate. They're our number one seller. I thought they'd fit you
need
like
some
a glove.
Ricks, mate.
There you go. Oh, perfect. There you go. Straight down a Bondi.
Are they good?
I've never seen someone not look good in my sunglasses. Good, I tell you what. Soho cherries, though. They are. They're going quick. If you're listening and you're watching, you want a pair. They are the number one seller.
Oh, they fit unreal. Thanks, mate.
Bordeaux, this is Ricks on Tour to close the segment. To close Only Sport, and this has been a great podcast, mate. I've loved hearing all that. Because something you don't really talk about, that's what I love about podcasts. If we go to the pub, we're probably watching NFL or we're having a beer and talking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But when we sit down on the couch, we're just drinking coffees and waters. It's good to dive deep into, your career and the challenges and how you've overcome them and the highs. So, mate, I really appreciate the honesty and you telling your story, because a lot of people out there will be listening and drawing a lot of inspiration from it, especially those that might be thinking about, whatever you've gone through. Now, mate, Rick's on Tour to close out. You've got some amazing teammates. You've played with a lot of people.
Yeah.
We'll keep it in the league kind of family. I want you to pick two blokes that you've played with.
Yeah.
And tell me where you would take Rick's and, where you'd go in the world and why you take those blokes with you. You've only got a week. The missus has said, Bordeaux, you have a week, mate. You need to just chill out. I want you to go enjoy yourself. Who are the two guys you're taking with and why?
Well, I don't think we'll be chilling out. So it'll be pretty wild. The week I'd choose would be Super Bowl week. Why not? And I'm taking Jared Hargraves. He's one of my wingmen. And I'm going to take Dylan Napper with me.
Dylan Napper sounds like the man. Is he the Energizer Bunny?
He is, mate. He's all time. He's one of the best blokes you'll ever meet. And to take on a trip away, we've had a couple together, and it's been the best time of our lives. We still talk about it, and you always know you're in for a good time and having some good stories to tell after with him. So they're two of probably my day ones and me rock solid, so I'm sticking with them, and mate, we'll turn one on, we'll have a good time.
Oh, I know you will. And where are you going? What Super Bowl would you love to go to?
Well, if we could rewind a year, I'd love to take him to Vegas. Yeah, how was that, mate? Was that good?
Oh, just crazy. Yeah, everything you can imagine. In terms of, like, I reckon I come back to Australia and I thought, if the NFL didn't do what they do, which is rotate, now that Vegas is set up, it's probably the perfect place to just keep it there every year.
It's a Disneyland for adults, eh?
It is. So good. It's got everything there as well. I mean, all the hotels you can, you know, it's got... They did events, like we went and saw Future and David Guetta on the Friday. Yeah. We kept Saturday pretty free. Didn't want to burn out for the game. I wanted to be fresh in how much I love the NFL. And like they've just set this little event up, because we could see through our window when we were staying that they were setting up this event, and you rock up, it's just world class.
Insane, eh?
The biggest names in the world are all around the corner. So yeah, Vegas a bit, but SoFi Stadium is a great place to watch NFL and sport. Yeah. LA's in 3 years. New Orleans will be fun. I mean, that's a dome. Anywhere with a dome, I'd imagine, is going to be great. You don't want to go to a Super Bowl. It's going to be snowing.
But you want a good city too. Like Miami would have been sick.
Yeah, my mates went to Miami and reckon it was unbelievable. But I think Vegas. Yeah, I'm very
Super
grateful.
Bowl week anywhere, really.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah, especially if you're talking to us too, mate. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Legend, mate.
Unreal, and wish you all the best with your coaching. I know you do really well. I know a lot of blokes will be listening to what you say, and to everyone out there, thanks so much for your support. Really appreciate it. To Pilot, we love you. We appreciate your support. Without you, it wouldn't be possible. And if you're enjoying this, make sure you subscribe, share this one. Hopefully you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next week on Only Sport.
One more time, because I really mean it. I just want to say a massive thank you for all the support you continue to give us at the Oz American Aces. If you want to further support us, make sure you like and subscribe, hit the follow button so you can keep up to date with all our exciting shows and announcements. Righto, now it's time to give our sponsors a massive plug. Struggling to make it to third base before striking out? Wood not driving like it used to? Let me guess, tackle's gone a little bit soft? No stress. If you're having issues in the bedroom, like erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation, Australia's favourite men's healthcare provider, Pilot, has all the clinical tools you need to get your game back on track. Thousands of Aussie men come to Pilot to get simple, discreet, and clinical treatments online. Pilot has free shipping, auto refills, and free follow-ups over text with practitioners. Get started today at pilot.com.au. And remember, play hard until the final whistle with Pilot. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. It's been months. We ran out of stock, but we're back. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.